Hello again, listening friends. Welcome to Whitcomb.sermonaudio.com. This is Paul Scharf for Whitcomb Ministries. It's a great privilege to be here today with both Dr. John and Mrs. Norma Whitcomb. We're in Dr. Whitcomb's study in the basement of their wonderful home here in Indianapolis. And this is an unusual treat because, Mrs. Whitcomb, you're not often with us when we do these recordings for sermonaudio.com. But we're talking today with both of you because you're both heavily involved in our subject today, which is encouragement in Bible study. And Mrs. Whitcomb, I know you do a lot of studying the Bible yourself and have taught the Bible to women. I wonder if you could just share in a very, very simple, basic way, very shoe leather type fashion, if you would, some encouraging words for people out there, especially the ladies who are the part of our group listening to this. How in the world would someone begin studying their Bible?
I think the best way for me, anyhow, has been to take a portion of the Bible, take a short book to start with. And so many people feel that they've got to go through a whole chapter or something of that sort. But it's, for me, I take maybe only a phrase. I will read until I feel gripped by a phrase. And then I will look at that phrase and I will spend time with it. And I find it very helpful to allow God to speak to me through many times just a phrase that could take me 20 minutes, a half hour. Another thing that I have found very interesting, and it goes along with this phrase idea, is when I used to, I walk, and I used to jog, but I walk now, and the Lord speaks to me so often. If I've done my Bible study, it's a wonderful time for review. And if I haven't done my Bible study yet for that day, it's a wonderful time to allow him to speak to me and give me a thought for the day, and then I come in and do my Bible study. But I have another wonderful experience, and for years, for many, many years, the Lord seems to have a timetable for me in which I wake up about 3 o'clock every morning. And instead of lying there and tossing, I get up and do my Bible study. It's the most wonderful quiet time in the whole wide world to study the Word. It seems like my relationship to the Lord is so personal. And there's nothing, no telephone, no anything to interfere. And to me, I could not wish a better experience. The thing is, some people say, get up and do things, or they lie there and toss. But for me, to have that relationship with God is so special. It carries me. It seems like I've almost been just at the courts of heaven, the gates of heaven sometimes. And that would be my first note of experience that has been a blessing to me.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Whitcomb. That was a wonderful testimony. And it's really incredible how you have seen the Lord work that habit into your life, reading the Bible like that. And in the course of ministry, as my wife and I have had the great opportunity to work with you folks, we've seen that at times, how you've risen early to read the Bible as you've spoken of. And that is a wonderful encouragement, I trust, to our listeners. And I know it's an encouragement to me, as you've described how God has worked and built that opportunity into your life. Dr. Whitcomb, you also have studied the Bible for many years, and of course, we're familiar with your teaching and preaching, but it all begins here in your study and with your own Bible. You've got a famous Bible, at least to those who've known you through the years. It's right in front of us here on the table, and it is very worn. It's a Ryrie Study Bible. Can you tell us a little bit about that and about your own Bible study habits and kind of take us through how you have had special times in God's Word through these years?
Thank you, Paul. Yes, it was in 1978 that Dr. Charles Ryrie sent me one of 100 copies of a special edition, a limited edition of his study Bible published by Moody Press. And now I've had the privilege of putting thousands of notes in the margins and underlying. I've even said in the front page, if anybody happens to find my Bible, if I lose it, they get a $200 reward, so friends, watch for my Bible. A $200 reward if they'll return it to me. It's that valuable to me now, and more. But the point is this. The Apostle Paul told his favorite disciple, Timothy, in the last letter he ever wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now think of this. Study actually here means be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not what? That does not need to be ashamed. In other words, to be shown as one who was sloppy, careless, superficial, biased, prejudiced in his reading of the Bible. We want to be, in other words, the opposite of what Paul told Timothy in that third chapter of his last letter about people who are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, just an advanced degree from some theological seminary or graduate school doesn't guarantee that we really know the Bible. You say, well, Dr. Whitcomb, how do I know for sure what the Bible means? Well, listen to this example. When Paul and his team came to a city in northern Greece in their great second missionary journey, they came to a city called Thessalonica, and they came to a Jewish synagogue there and began to teach the word of God. Now listen to what happened. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that is, the Bereans. When Paul and his team arrived in Berea, after they had been in Thessalonica, they came to a synagogue of the Jews there, and here's the amazing statement. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Friends, that takes some discipline, doesn't it? Yes, some encouragement from God the Holy Spirit. Set aside newspapers, magazines, TV, whatever these distractions may be, and do what? Actually open the Bible for yourself. Don't depend upon what somebody else says is what it said. You look at it for yourself before God to see whether these things are really so. So I just say, Lord, help me when I teach to be sure that I'm telling people exactly what you meant by what you said. You said what you really meant in the only book you've ever written. And it's not too big a book, friends, for an average Christian to master sufficiently in his lifetime to be solid, well-grounded in the whole counsel of God. And that's why God requires of us that we be faithful in handling his precious word of truth, the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's guaranteed by God to be accurate. It can be understood. Yes, there's some difficult verses, but we compare verses with other verses in the Bible. Listen carefully, is its own best interpreter. You don't have to depend upon a commentary or somebody's book. Read the Bible as it explains itself as you read one verse, one chapter, one book after another. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of doing that through these years, and so that it becomes really an illuminating, exciting thing to see what God really said in this precious, written revelation of his mind and heart, the Bible.
And Mrs. Whitcomb, you have something to add to what Dr. Whitcomb just spoke about from 2 Timothy 2:15.
Yes, Paul, I mentioned getting up and reading my Bible. There is a big difference between reading and studying. I admire people who read through the Bible in 1 year, but I have to take it apart, verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase, get into cross-references, and they're right along the very side of, in the margins of my Bible. And the footnotes give extra help to go back to the Old Testament to show how the new, what they're talking about, what's being said in the New Testament. And so study is the key to, for me, to really have an in-depth relationship with the Lord in these night moments that we've been talking about. And I know that it's hard for a person to accept this, but my study can be an hour and a half, and sometimes even more, because I get so involved and I'm feeling so encouraged and so fed. And again, that relationship to the Lord is so vital to me that I can't get enough. And so that's important to me. If we're thinking about Bible study for the day, I know the day gets so filled up, women will say, I don't have time. But if we're very careful, if we would log our day, I think we would find out that there is time for Bible study. If we would log the minutes and long minutes sometimes speaking to friends on the phone, doing crafts. Now, none of these are wrong in their proper place, but when they take the place of our relationship to the Lord and our study of His Word in order to grow in Him, they're wrong. Not in themselves, but because of the place they have, the priority that they have in our lives. And some people say, well, I'm addicted to such things as magazines that come into my home, or I'm addicted to the TV. Okay, I have a little suggestion that I've made more than once. If that's your problem, lay your Bible on top of the magazines. Put your Bible up on top of the controls for the TV, and God will get to you when you do things like that. So these are important for all of us to remember. I could get it addicted too, but God means so much to me. His Word means so much to me that I'm willing to put Him. I want to put Him first in study, not just reading.
Let me follow up with that, Mrs. Whitcomb. You also have a habit you want to tell us about, a good habit, that is journaling that ties into this. What do you mean by that? What kind of journaling do you do?
It's a very simple system that I have. When I am studying, I don't do this all the time, but I take times and do this because I like it. As the Lord is speaking to me, I'll write those notes down, and they're very they're amazing how when we mean business with God, He meets us and He'll do business with us. And so I get into the Word, He gives me some thoughts, I write them down, and that's all I do. That's journaling to me, very simple. I will date it, and I'll tell you, friends, and Paul, if you're using that as your method of Bible study and you have too many days with no date, that catches you up too. But the journaling is a way. And another thing, you go back and read your journal in a year later, maybe longer than that, and you're absolutely amazed. You're fed all over again, and you're amazed. And you say to yourself, I thought of that? No, you didn't think of it. God gave it to me, and it was a feast.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Whitcomb, and those are some good thoughts that all of our listeners can apply. And Dr. Whitcomb, you certainly have a lot of Bible study to do, and I'm not sure if you do that type of journaling. I know you do. You have your own method of keeping a diary that you've talked about in the past, but you certainly have a lot of things to keep track of as you prepare to teach seminary classes, speak in other occasions, and write your monthly monograph, e-newsletter that goes out to many hundreds of people each month, the other things we're doing here on the internet. Can you tell us just a little nugget that might help someone in a very specific way or practical way about how you prepare for some of these things? How do you keep all this in perspective, and how do you study in just maybe something that can help those who are listening? How do you study the Bible in preparation for all these many things that you have to do that are going on?
Paul, it's so important to find a basic theme that fascinates you in the Bible. Now, for me, as we've already mentioned, it happened to be the Genesis flood. Because of a lecture I heard from Dr. Henry Morris back in 1953, it just absolutely electrified me to think that billions of years of evolutionism is all wiped out if we realize the hydrodynamic effects of the flood, of the Genesis flood. So that thought gripped my attention at that time. Some other thought may grip your attention or someone else's, but this is my example. I decided I want to find everything the Bible says on that subject. So I got a concordance, which many Bibles have in the back of the book of the Bible, or a separate concordance that's more complete. Every time the word flood appears, look it up, or any parallel idea, catastrophism, or some such term. And I spent months and months looking up every commentary that spoke about these verses and write notes. What does this doctor, professor, theologian say if the commentary is credible, if it's reputable to start with? Don't waste time on trashy material. Some books that you have confidence in to give you insights that perhaps you never had. Don't ignore what other theologians and thinkers through the centuries have discovered in God's precious word. We're standing at the pinnacle of a huge pyramid of 2,000 years of writings and thinking on the Bible. Then you begin to take notes and put this all together, and I have guaranteed to my graduate students through the years, you can make discoveries that no one else has ever seen in the Bible. That's how big and deep and complex the Holy Scriptures really are, God's Word. You can make a unique, fresh discovery. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for that challenge. I'm excited. I want to see something perhaps not just for pride or arrogance or self-sufficiency, just the excitement of saying, here's something fresh. I never saw that before. I wonder if anybody else saw this. Is this really what God meant? Compare all the other passages and write it down, and you have right there the beginning, you see, of a book, an article, a lecture, a commentary that can really excite people. If you say, look, the Bible really teaches this. It says it, not because Dr. So-and-so said so, because the Bible itself teaches this. God himself has spoken. And that's how you begin to develop a series of lectures and studies and writings and monographs that perhaps, under God, can help thousands of people to say, well, thank you, Lord, for that insight. I never saw that before, but that really, on closer inspection, is really what you meant by what you said.
And speaking of the monthly monograph and electronic newsletters, Mrs. Whitcomb, you're actually thinking of something very exciting, and that is expanding your outreach to women at this time through the work of Whitcomb Ministries, through specifically an e-newsletter of your own that you're looking at starting to write, Windows for Women. I wonder if you could tell us about that, tease our audience a little bit with some information about what they can look for in the days ahead. And then, we've never done this before, but since it's our special treat to have you with us talking about these issues for women in Bible study here along with your husband, please close our time in prayer. That would be a special treat as we've thought about these issues and had you involved. But first, tell us about Windows for Women and what that means.
Paul, is yes, Windows for Women, and the subtitle is God's Word and Norma's Notes. God's Word is, of course, the most important part, but he has spoken to us, not audibly, but to our heart as I've studied. And I have many, many folders of various topics which I have used through the years when I've been invited to speak at women's conventions or whatever. And I wondered what was going to happen to all of these. I'm getting to the point now where I don't travel quite so much, and I have other responsibilities in our ministry. So it came to me one day, as I had been praying for some time, that perhaps God could use some of these ideas, these notes, through this email, this electronic newsletter. And they're going to be short, and I don't have all the answers, but I have some thoughts that God and some experiences that God has given me from his word, and I'd like to share them with the women. And it's exciting, as I'm working on those already, to have this opportunity to carry on my ministry to women, even when I'm sitting in my home and getting at the computer. And it's going to be on our website. You look at that for the information as to how it's going to come about. Just keep in touch with our website. It will be there someday, not right away, but soon, as God leads. And so that's my excitement on that particular thing. And it's my privilege, dear ladies, to pray for you, as I know that there are many people praying for me, or I couldn't be where I am today. And I wish I knew you all person by person, name by name, but God does. And so I'm just going to pray that God will use you and me to have this enjoyment of fellowshipping together in an electronic way. Dear Father, what a privilege to be your child, that you chose us before the foundation of the world to be with you for all eternity, and to have this wonderful experience here on earth to enjoy fellowship, relationship with you. Thank you for that. And I know that these dear women think that every minute of my life is exciting and easy and wonderful, but I'm right there where they are. I'm right there. And so, Father, we can understand each other And I want to pray for them according to their specific needs, which I don't know, but you know. And I pray, Father, that you will strengthen them and bless them as they get into the Word. May they be realizing over and over again that there's no experience like being in the Word, because that tells us who God is. And when He tells us who He is, then you tell us who you are and what you can do for us. Dear Father, bless these dear women, strengthen them, use them, help them to discipline their time, their lives, their time, and give them joy in their walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.